Nebraska pulled out a win in a close game defeating Northwestern on a walk-off field goal by walk-on Lane McCallum. We'll break down that street fight and how injuries may shape the way the team looks as they prepare for Minnesota. Our guest tonight is Brian Christopherson from 24/7 Sports. He'll help us unpack it all. Sean Callahan is also going to stop by to share the latest updates on Big Red recruiting. It's all coming up next on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. Hi, everyone. I'm Michael Sevier. Welcome to NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. It was another crazy game in the Northwestern series, but Nebraska pulls it out. To talk more about it, former Huskers Jay Moore and Damon Benning. Hey, it's a win, right? In the end, that's the way it ends.
4-2.
4-2.
4-2, that's all I'm going to say.
That's all
it is. I thought that's about the game was going to go. I knew it was going to be a slugfest. I knew it was going to be tight. I knew Northwestern was just kind of dirty it up, muck it up, try to slow it down a little bit. And they did. And in the end, it came down to turnovers. They had one. We didn't. And thank gosh, you know, the football fit between their Northwestern's D-line. I mean, the ball went right through here.
Right.
How about that? I mean, we finally kind of get a break,
for
us once, but that's about how I expected it. So 4-2, moving on.
Yeah, when you're learning how to win, that's actually ideal. You had probably your C game. You played without arguably two of your more efficient players that you're going to need throughout the course of the year, and they found a way to win when it didn't really look good. That is been very un-Nebraska-like over the last 10, 15 years. So take what you can get.
I think if I would have said to you before the game, Adrian Martinez is out, at one point or another, Washington is out, and then you're also going to lose Spielman, you say Nebraska probably loses.
Yeah, without question. And they found a way to get her done. And a team that, again, not accustomed to winning, needing to grind things out, could be a character revealer.
Mm-hmm. Defense, for the most part, aside for some problems they had on zone read plays, played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an explosive Northwestern offense.
Right.
I mean, it was a complete 180 from what they faced the week before. They did their job. Yeah, they had some issues. Yeah, they had guys, and the puzzling thing is they had guys in space in the right spot to make a play on the QB or on the running back. Almost a little too aggressive, got a little too far upfield, get their shoulders turned too far one way or another, can't recover. But you made plays when you had to. Lamar Jackson makes a great pick when they need to. You make some plays. You make some TFLs for the D-line. D-line played another good game. And just try to build on those that type of performance. And hopefully you're going to need another good performance against Minnesota this weekend.
Noah Vedra comes back. Lane McCallum comes back. It's kind of a storybook finish.
Yeah, a couple of Nebraska guys doing Nebraska things that play key roles in victories. So they'll always have that story to tell. And I think going forward, Nebraska can maybe develop a little bit of confidence regardless of who's taking snaps or in pressure situations, that if it's truly going to be the next man up, you got two pretty good models that found a way to get it done against Northwestern.
Worked pretty well. As always, we can't do the show without you. The guys from Phi Kappa Theta are in the house tonight. There they are in the video, waiting for your calls and comments. While they wait, they are eating, of course, some Valentino's pizza, so call. NET Sports intern Hannah is there as well, and we'll hear from her a little bit later. You can text or email your questions to us at bigred@netnebraska.org. You can also reach us via social media. I'm going to monitor Twitter and, of course, Facebook as well, and we'll get those questions asked for you. Here's this week's all-new sideline survey. It's very simple. Are you concerned with Nebraska's offensive struggles? Yes or no? Head to our website and cast your vote right now. 82% right now saying yes. Here are the top plays as voted on by you from Saturday's game versus Northwestern. Your top plays start, of course, with number 3, and it's Wandell Robinson's 42-yard scamper. We're going to have Damon break this one down a little bit when we're going through the highlights, but what a great jump cut. Very good blocking from the offensive line as well, right, Damon?
Oh, absolutely. The 2-foot plant, and then watch him get right back vertical, puts the left foot in the ground, back through that crease, see the crease, be the crease.
Not losing speed. Lamar Jackson, interception, of course. Big game for the black shirt, getting the interception. I'm sure he wanted to stay left on that and take it all the way back.
Near sideline. Always stay near sideline.
Side score. He probably brings that one back for a touchdown, but it's a huge play. Gets the interception. That's number 2 on our list. And then number 1, Lane McCallum. And as Jay said, it barely got through someone's arm. 24-yard field goal to win the game as time expired. Nebraska finally gets a break this season. Check back every Sunday on our website and cast your vote. Some big plays each game this season. All right, let's get a little bit more into what we saw. And we'll start with you, Damon, from Noah Vedra. It wasn't a lot, but we did see him throw some passes. We saw him run with some decisiveness. What did you think about what he did?
Yeah, I think the ability to come in under duress and kind of be seamless was the big thing. I almost didn't care how it looked. Mm-hmm. It was the fact that he was ready when called upon. And that's kind of different, especially for a backup quarterback. And the more prepared you can be, the better off you're going to be, especially if it's going to be spot duty. He was decisive. And I know he was only one of four up until this point, but the big pass, obviously, that he completed to Wandell Robinson on kind of that wheel concept. Mm-hmm. Wandell sits it down. He kind of back shoulders that thing, led him away from the defender. Mm-hmm. That's big time stuff and a big time moment.
It's a great route, too. It's just a beautiful route. They ran a couple times during the game. What did you see from Noah when he came in?
I like how they kind of started him off. Get him some QB runs. Mm-hmm. Get him hit. Get him, you know, in the feel of the game. You know, so many times you'll see a backup quarterback and they'll ask him to throw right away, and it's pick or something. You know, it happened. Mm-hmm. We played South Alabama this year. I think that the backup came right away, and we picked him off. So mm-hmm. I love you. Just get him in the flow. I love that. Looked decisive. He looked like he's been in his offense for a few years, which yep. he has. So all in all, I mean, the backup QB situation is a lot better than what it was, you know, last year and earlier. We had to play Troy, so. You know, he did what he had to do. He come in that situation, that tough, and won the football game.
I think people have to kind of be careful. You hope that there are some telltale signs that they can take forward into Minneapolis, but a lot of times, having seen this thing a lot, defenses can get distracted with a new quarterback. You don't feel as though you're as game plan prepared, and so sometimes they'll show you some things that you aren't accustomed to seeing or that they don't have on tape. That will not be the case this week as they head into Minneapolis.
We've talked about a lot of good things. Snaps, again, were off. Even the great play we talked about with Wandell Robinson, that was a kind of a bad snap. What do you do? What are they going to do to fix this?
You got two choices. And I think what Nebraska is considering is the risk-reward. The risk of a bad snap and knowing that Cam Jurgens is pretty good at the point of attack and a very violent blocker. Mm-hmm. He's gotten much better in terms of finding ways to get to the second level versus clean snaps and maybe not being as efficient along the offensive line. I think Nebraska appears to have settled in to rolling the dice with snaps and hoping that they can get that fixed first before they maybe need a different type of body up front to play the center position.
What are you seeing from Cam after the snap? What are you seeing?
He's really good. He's really good getting the next level. He moves. Obviously, he's a great athlete. He moves very well. So I see what they see. Like, he gives them another element to this offense, an ability to move. But it's, you know, is the risk worth the reward? And at times, I question, you know, what are we? Right. We got to do something different. But when you do see him in place, I'm like, ooh, that's mm-hmm. that's different. And his ability to get to the second level, to move around, and it's really, really good. But you just can't afford. I mean, you cannot run an offense if you cannot get a clean exchange between the center and the quarterback. That's the most important part of every offensive play. And, you know, six games into it, it's still an issue. And you heard players, you know, comment about, you know, yesterday in the press conference, it's still an issue and that needs to get fixed. And hopefully, you know, they can do some technique stuff or whatever to get it cleaned up, because it's for an offense that's already struggling, it's holding them back a little bit too much right now.
You guys often hold your teammates accountable. You hear Matt Farniak come out. How do you think that works in terms of that offensive line room when you have somebody coming out saying, we need to get this fixed?
I think it's twofold. Number one, it's a little bit of it's actually a sense of relief, I think, to those on the outside watching, because I think what drives people crazy is they get the feeling that Nebraska staff has kind of turned a blind eye to the problem. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of been like, okay, we don't talk about it, so therefore we don't really think it's an issue. That's not the case. I think they do think it's an issue. You heard Coach Frost address it briefly. But the beautiful thing is when teammates acknowledge it as well, I say it all the time, pressure bust pipes. But when it works in a constructive manner, it can also turn charcoal into diamonds. And so when you know that you have to be accountable to somebody other than yourself, it has a way of motivating you a lot of times to the good, especially if you're an alpha by nature.
Part of this might be injuries. Another part is the two best defensive teams they play. But if you look, the first four games, you see what Nebraska was doing per game, what they were doing per play. 9 yards per play is excellent. And then you see the last two. Ohio State's a very good defense. Northwestern is a great defense, really. And you see 4.5 yards per play, down to 275 yards per game. This is about competition. This is about play calling. This is about injuries. What do you think, Jay?
It's a little bit of both. I think it's all three. I think even Ohio State, that's kind of an anomaly. We knew that game was very tricky. I think Nebraska had to play hitting all cylinders to get something going. You have the turnover issues. We talked about it last week. But I mean, Northwestern's good. I mean, Patty Fisher's a hell of a linebacker that yep. they went against. I mean, he's really, really good. And it's just, it's just a little off. It's just there is through six games, you know, what we kind of saw, you know, we were some struggles in the first game, like, that's the first game. Then you kind of see some issues. Now it's a trend. We know they're struggling right now. And then if you face good competition, where they play very disciplined style of football, you have to be on top of your game. You have to play with right techniques. You have to play with the right mindset. You have to take care of the football. At least they did that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they had, you know, seven turnovers in the previous two games has been an issue, but I think it's a little bit of both. You don't have a healthy, or not, I shouldn't say healthy. You know, Maurice hasn't been healthy, but was suspended. But he obviously didn't look right coming in. Mm-hmm. You don't have JD. You know, Adrian's had some issues, and then you mix the snapping with everything. It's slow. There's some dents on that car right now that are causing some issues to this offense.
We've talked about this on our show. People expect Central Florida. They expect Oregon. They're not getting that. What's the simple answer?
Well, I think number one, where they are in this stage of their coaching tenure at Nebraska, you'd expect there to be an offensive identity. Mm-hmm. You know, if I said, hey, what's Nebraska's offensive identity? You would assume that all three of us would be able to give some semblance of a similar answer. And I don't believe that to be the case right now. But don't undersell the loss of Hunt. Don't undersell the loss of Cade Warner. Because when it comes to being steady Eddie in this offense, which is timing and feel, a lot of it is about know-how and being pretty savvy. And when you get a snap that's off and you get hesitancy with guys playing outside the numbers, it can lead to anarchy. And I think the strangest thing is for an offense that's predicated on being multiple, having a lot of guys being able to do similar things, they appear to get bogged down without one or two key guys. That seems to be to the contrary of the philosophy.
Question from Twitter for you, Jay. Can you explain the mishaps by the outside linebackers? Over-pursuing, not reacting fast enough?
Yeah, it's – you get them in space. You know, it's tough. I mean, it's not – Northwestern's quarterback wasn't like Michael Vick back there by any means. But, you know, you get them in space, and it's kind of hard. And I don't – you know, no offense to Alex Davis or whoever. I mean, he's not – you know, he's not going to be a first-round draft pick by any means. So he just – it's a good game plan. I think at times, I've already said it, they get too aggressive. And to play good, solid, fundamental defense, you kind of need to keep your shoulders parallel to line of scrimmage. As soon as you get turned one way, it's hard to, now if they go and come inside, yeah, you'll make that play, but they bounce it, you're stuck. You can't make that play. And you're the edge defender, they're going to get 5, 6, 7, possibly a first down in those situations. So they got to play cleaner. You saw it in the early touchdown run against Illinois. Dismute comes off the edge and gets too far upfield and then can't. You just got to be a little more under control. And I understand, I love playing fast, playing violent, playing physical. If you're going to make a mistake, make it fast. But sometimes you got to be a little more under control. Risk versus reward. Sometimes, you know, it'd be nice to make a 5-yard loss, but let's get them down for a no gain or a 1-yard gain in sometimes these situations. So some good X and O's by Northwestern, but overall, they've got to be a little bit under control.
Yeah, I'm all about, I think, the concept, and you get this. Number one, I agree wholeheartedly with keeping the shoulders square as long as you can. We'll call that like a little feather action where you never want the quarterback to be able to read your numbers. The other thing is they got to leverage the ball and not the block. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, it's kind of what Jay's saying, where when you're so far up the field and you're isolated one-on-one and you give a guy a two-way go when you're showing him your numbers, it is hard to redirect and get back outside. We've seen that. And it's also hard to close. We saw the touchdown run where Northwestern kind of isolated. You know, Mo Berry is coming free. Mm-hmm. Caleb Tanner gets down to the inside run or dive. Berry's coming around for Q. And he's so far up the field, the quarterback, just one move, and he's back inside, and it's Katie Barr at the door. Jay referenced it earlier. You get a free defender, you expect to make that play. It's the little things for Nebraska in terms of when to slow down, when to step on the gas, and how to play the actual fundamentals in terms of technique.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look at some of the highlights from Saturday against Northwestern. Start off as a beautiful day there in Lincoln. You see Nebraska coming out. First highlight is Dedrick Mills with a nice 12-yard run here. He led Nebraska in carries. Dedrick's coming on, right, Damon?
Yeah, he's arguably Nebraska's most improved player. He was all but left for dead after week two, and he continues to get better.
Here's one of the better passes, Major Martinez. Great catch by Kanavaya Noah, getting his foot down. Again, wrong foot throw. They practice this with Coach Verdu every time they're out there for practice. Wandell Robinson. Now, Damon, that jump cut, of course, is beautiful. But talk a little bit about the blocking on this
one. Yeah, it was really nice. You get the little pin pull, and Farniak does a good job in terms of getting out in front. That it was a well-executed play, and you saw the whole full buffet from Wan'Dale Robinson.
Speaking of Adrian Martinez throwing off the wrong foot, watch this. He gets loose again off the wrong foot and makes a great throw to Austin Allen, makes the catch as he goes out of bounds. They review it, and his foot was in bounds. And then Wan'Dale Robinson comes back. Damon, you worried about some of the shots he takes at his size?
Yeah, I am. I mean, you got to really be careful with the punishment that he takes. But I tell you what, he's built low to the ground. Reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson, where he's so durable regardless of how you hit him because of the way he's built.
Lane McCallum kicks this one a crosswind from that end of the stadium, but gets it in there to put Nebraska up 10-0. Here's a problem, Jay, and talk a little about special teams. Mm-hmm. This is one of the big issues that Nebraska's had in their kickoff coverage.
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at this, and you have guys coming down, but you got to make the plays. You have guys coming off. You got to get in the right position. It's under, you know, kickoff. It's just funneling it to the right side, or what you got to understand what they're trying to do to you as well, where the position's kicked. But you got to make a play in there.
These next two plays, which you guys were talking about with the outside linebacker right here, watch the Adrian keeping it.
Yeah, and that was good by him. So he had Alex, looks like Alex Davis had no outside. I mean, because you don't, as a defender, you don't have both. Mm-hmm. You have the dive or you have the QB. So it looked like he had the dive there, and they got out and got it to the second level for the guy who had the QB.
Impressive 40-yard field goal into the win there to make it 10-3. Back comes Drake Anderson again, and we mentioned he did really well off of the zone read. Damon, how about this run?
Yeah, it's really nice. You know, his ability to get back vertical in a hurry is everything that I'm after as a guy that would like to coach running backs. He starts with that outside zone motion, puts a foot in the dirt, back up the crease.
Tough penalty right there on Doman. He was stuck in coverage. He got turned around, but he also put his hands on the receiver.
Yeah, not a big fan of the call. Nebraska's been a victim of a few of those this year.
And then we were just talking about this play earlier. That's Mo Berry being left alone and not being able to make the play. But Adrian Martinez comes back. Makes a great play. Damon, talk about this shovel pass.
Yeah, well executed. They showed you the whole complement of what they're capable of. You get the zone look. It's still got the triple element to it with the give, keep, and then the shovel. First time we'd seen it all year. Fantastic play call.
Next year, he's looking up at the screen to see if anybody's behind him.
Yeah.
Got to use the big screen, young fella. You can find out who's behind you. And then Lane McCallum again. That crosswind we talked about, it pushes it off to the right. It hits the upright and bounces off. More problems for Nebraska special teams. Here's the play where Adrian Martinez gets injured as he is trying to break away, grabs his leg and pulls on it. It's kind of scary the way his head goes back right
there. Yeah, you know he was hurt right away. You could see the mouth come open as if to say, ah. But you get planted like that and you get the downward action on the bottom of that leg. It's nowhere to go but to bend.
You mentioned penalties. We've got a bunch of them back to back here. It's Doman's tackle. They call it a horse collar. On the replay, you see he's on the shoulder. It goes back into the collar a little bit. Most times they don't call that, but they do. That's a big 15-yard penalty there. And then, as we were talking about, this is a double penalty. They call an interference, downfield, and then, of course, they also call personal foul. This is a lifting and drop. That's the call they make.
Yeah, not enamored by the roughing pass, the passer call, but anytime you drive a quarterback into the ground, you're probably going to draw a flag.
We mentioned that end of the field, though. You have the wind blowing. It knocks it to the right. That's a very good field goal kicker for them, knocking it to the right then. And then the big play by the black shirts. It's Lamar Jackson taking advantage of a little bit of contact from Will Honus, but good play.
Yeah, you're within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. It looks to be a screen. They'll allow that. I mean, it's kind of a chippy call, and yeah, he's close enough.
Yeah, close enough for government work, exactly. And as you said, Lamar Jackson could have gotten out there. But here's a couple of big plays. Back shoulder throw to Wan'Dale Robinson.
Yeah, how about the body control? You know, I'm a big fan of the balance. Yeah. He shows it to you right there with his ability to contort.
Huge field goal for Lane McCallum. Runs. He said he was scared that he was going to get dogpiled and that he would die on the bottom of the pile, but obviously he lived to kick another week. Incredible story for him. He didn't see the movie Rudy, but he does get carried off like Rudy, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, Operation Wet Blanket Denny Downer, if you don't want Nebraska to celebrate. They hadn't won a lot of those games,
yeah.
But let them have fun.
Biggest thing from the stats, though, no turnovers. Nebraska had 5-6 penalties, but no turnovers in that. It was just an ugly game stat-wise, but still, you win the game.
Yeah, hard to believe Adrian Martinez, when he left the game, was 13 of 20 passing and easily had 5 drops.
Yeah.
I mean, he was well on his way to an efficient day.
Yeah, he could have had a much better day if it wasn't for those drops and, of course, a few penalties as well. All right, it's time to get into the playbook. Jay Moore is in the huddle.
So we've already seen a couple of these highlights. I had for you non-defensive minded people. I know I'm a defensive guy, but focus a lot on the defense this year. But let's look at the offense. I got to look through these two Wan'Dale plays. And I'm just gonna go ahead and give Wan'Dale nickname of the human eraser because he makes the bad go away. And I want to highlight this first, the touchdown run early here in the first quarter. I got Wandell highlight here in the shotgun. Decent snap. Looks like it should be a 5-yard loss at this time. But as we highlighted earlier, little jump cut outside makes something bad good. Now gets vertical. You got a seal. You got Farniok getting to the next level. We got him sealed off. You got Mike Williams up top here sealing off the DB. And boom, it's even more impressive. Looks like the safety coming down here has an angle on him. He was coming down a little aggressive, but is able to outrun everyone into the end zone, 7 points early for Nebraska. Now let's look at the next one, the shovel pass. Got him coming in the motion in here from the boundary. You got the little G scheme. You let guard tackle down. Bo Wilson's going to wrap around here. You got the DN here just coming hard right into the mesh point here. And right now, I mean, this play is close to being dead, but Adrian's able to get this off. And now, boom, perfect seal. Noah's got a seal. Everyone's second level. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. And then I feel sorry for this guy trying to come down the second level to get Wandell one-on-one. Wandell gives him the old okey-doke here, and he's off to the races. Looks like he's about to score like he did in the first play that I highlighted earlier, but unfortunately, late in the game, a little heavy legs. But overall, we got ourselves a human eraser in Wandell Robinson.
Jay, can you remember a time where you got the old okey-doke, you're in space, and somebody gives you something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in my early days, you know, trying to, you know, scout team, Jamal Lord, you know, in those days, those were tough. But I held my own later in my career, I'll say that.
Yeah. You put some moves on guys, right?
Yeah, you go dead leg, a little bit. You know, break them down, drop the hips. It's tough. You get those guys when you can square them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and give yourself a two-way go. It's tough for those guys to make plays in the open space.
Old DB had some good video back in the day. Up next on the show, we'll be joined by Brian Christopherson from 24/7 Sports to talk more about what lies ahead for Nebraska. But before we go to break, here's some images from Saturday's victory against Northwestern, courtesy of Hail Varsity. Stay with us. We're right back.
It's been a long stretch here. We got a 1-week season to play the best we can this week, and we're going to be able to rest and get a lot of guys healthy. Well, we'll let the week develop and see where Adrian is, but we feel good about if we have to go with Noah and Luke. Those guys got a bunch of reps today, and they've been repping a lot all through the fall, so if it ends up being them, we're fine, but we're going to wait and see where Adrian is later in the week.
We have confidence in all the guys. I mean, all the receivers, all the running backs, we have confidence in. We have confidence in Noah. So really just going through the weeks exactly how we've been doing, preparing the exact same way that we have, just making sure that we're good on offense.
For us right now, it's the guys that we want to reserve those red shirts for. The biggest decisions right now are who's going to help us on special teams and or who's down. So I think that's kind of where we're at right now. And then also, there's certain guys where you know you want to get them some game reps, so because they are going to be important. Jakeem Green's one of them. He's going to play in 4 games, and it's coming quickly. I need to pick the games where it's going to be the games that he fits best in what we're doing, because he's got to get ready to go for next year, and those game reps are important.
Yeah, we're just in the middle of this process trying to get us where we want to be, and there's a lot of steps to take. We've certainly come a long way. But I don't think anybody in the building's happy with where we are either. We just got to keep finding ways to give ourselves chances to win.
Welcome back to Big Red Wrap-Up. I'm Michael Sevier, joined by our NET intern, Hannah. You got some good stuff from social media?
I do. Everyone overall is pretty excited for Lane McCallum, obviously, for that breakthrough moment. But our first tweet is actually about that, from former Husker player Jared Crick, basically just saying it's a bold move, dogpiling on top of McCallum after that play. He's our only healthy kicker that we have a faith in right now overall. So it's kind of interesting seeing them all pile on him. After
Lane
that
said
game.
It was a nightmare of his. He was afraid he was going to die.
I'd be a little scared, too.
I know, exactly.
Our second tweet is from Randy, just sharing an article about former Nebraska coach Bill Callahan becoming the interim coach at the Washington Redskins. Kind of a get-to-know-you article. And Tommy just says, oh, yeah, we've met.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So,
Husker fan?
Yeah, interesting to see that on social media this week.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hannah. We appreciate it. Here's this week's game day photo winner. Michelle sent us a photo on Facebook of her crew that traveled in from Alliance, Nebraska, and Lawrence, Kansas to see the Husker win on Saturday. Michelle won the new Big Red wrap-up t-shirt, coffee tumbler, as well as the 2019 Hail Varsity yearbook. Send us your best game day photo each Saturday for your chance to win these great prizes. Please welcome, join the show, Brian Christophs from 24/7 Sports. How you doing, Brian?
I'm good. How are you guys?
It's a win, right, Brian? Isn't that the end when you're writing? Nebraska had more points. That's the end story.
Survive and advance type of team right
yep,
now.
Right.
That's where they're at.
Exactly. What did you think overall about the way they came out and played early in the game?
I thought early in the game it was okay. I mean, I thought they had a little bit of rhythm on offense. I felt like Adrian Martinez was doing some okay things. The defense, I know they're going against a very offensively inept team in Northwestern, mm-hmm. but you play what's in front of you. And aside from the one series really to start the third quarter, I thought Eric Chenander's group played really good football. And that's not always easy when you're in one of those games where it's the fourth quarter and one bust on defense can mm-hmm. can decide your fate. And Nebraska didn't have that moment. So I think you have to give credit where it's due there. And as for the offense, going forward, I think they're going to see a team this week that maybe isn't quite as good defensively as Northwestern was. So maybe that opens up some opportunity.
Do you think one of the questions is, do you believe Minnesota is a legit 5-0 team? How big of a win would it be for Nebraska?
Yeah, I think at this point you are who your record says you are. There's something to be said for having some resolve to find ways to win. I don't care how ugly they were early. It's an art form, and winning is a habit just like losing. So good on Minnesota. But having said that, going into the bye week with Nebraska kind of limping in, mm-hmm. if they find a way to win this one, I think it's huge for not only their psyche, but for what's coming up down the pipe here with another short bye week around the corner.
BC, this is a question that was asked of Scott Frost during the press conference on Monday. Does the playbook change if it is Vegelet quarterback?
I don't think it changes that much. I mean, I think the good thing about this situation is Noah Vedral's in his third year with his staff, and they know his strengths and weaknesses. So you can kind of play to that as you put together your game plan. And I also think it's easier now that they have some time to kind of reset, okay, what tools do you have available this week, as opposed to when you're in kind of stuck in the mud in the fourth quarter there just trying to figure out how to claw and scratch out a win. Mm-hmm. It's sort of just a survival act at that point. Now you can take a deep breath. Noah Vedral was out there in a big moment. He made a big throw. I think he can get some confidence off of that. And I also think he ran the ball well. I don't know if he's quite as dynamic as Adrian Martinez with that, but he's a good runner, and he is a decisive player, I think, when it comes to the run game.
Paul from Lincoln wants to know, was it a mistake to put McCaffrey out there for the one play when Vedral's helmet came off?
Yeah, I think Scott Frost thought it was a mistake when it was all said and done. It was one of those deals, I think, where they just had a quick talk in the headset and said, hey, if Vedral goes down, mm-hmm. McCaffrey's going in, and it ends up being just a one-play situation.
Right.
It's hard because you're doing everything you can at that point just to find a way to win the game, and that's your biggest thing in the moment. I'm sure they wish he had four games now. But I do think McCaffrey's going to be a big part of it this week. I just have a feeling his speed, which guys will say is one of the fastest guys on the team, is going to be something you got to put in there.
Before we get to more of that, look at the quarterback room. Compared to last year, you have to say it's much stronger than it was when everything happened to Troy, right?
Yeah, you're feeling pretty good about that if you're Nebraska's staff. And you heard BC reference Luke McCaffrey. I think he's top 10. 12 athletes on the team from top to bottom. So you're in good hands there. You got the experience of Vedral. You know, Bunch has played before, knows the system. And Matt Masker, who they think is kind of a steal mm-hmm. with his physical, especially his arm talent.
Big athlete, too.
So I think they feel good.
Jay, this one's kind of for you because you played some outside linebacker mm-hmm. in the pros and had a drop. Ted wants to know why they aren't using the tight ends more. Deadly weapon, especially in play action.
Yeah, it's if you get some tight ends, I mean, you've seen Stoll. Mm-hmm. You'd like to see Allen a little more. He made some appearances his last game, some nice catches. You'd think to get some in space and get them in situations against a linebacker, inside linebacker or outside linebacker. But, you know, even a big body over a DB in some situations, back shoulder throws type deals. You think of, Gronkowski's the first guy you come to my mind. Big bodies in the end zone, the red zone, you can utilize them. I don't know. It's been interesting. They're not the best blockers At the point of attack. They have made some plays, so it's interesting to see how they can fit them in. Because you still want, you know, they're in, like, oh, they're going to be thrown to them, or, you know, they got to be able to mix them in and
sure.
and just not make sure it's, you know exactly what's going to happen with them in. But it's been a little puzzling, because you'd think they'd want to utilize them some more.
Toby on Twitter wants to know, BC, what do you know about what's going on with Maurice Washington? Of course, he was suspended for the first half. What are you hearing about his status?
I think it's vague right now. So it's going to be something to monitor this week. Obviously, they're trying to keep some of that stuff in-house. And, what was interesting to me is he just wasn't part of it near the end of the game, even when they needed difference makers beside Wandale Robinson. So he's got to do some work off the field and gain some trust back, I think, to help. We've seen he's a dynamic football player, and this offense needs him. They need that guy that was at Colorado who could bust off those two or three explosive plays that can turn a game. But you got to get right off the field and take care of those details before you can be trusted on it.
Scott Frost said trust goes both ways.
And without question. I think he gave us kind of a glimpse in when they were recruiting him and he reported, and people didn't think he was going to make it here, he said, listen, he didn't give up on us and we're not going to give up on him. And I think that lets you know right away that I think that they have a unique relationship. And when you talk about that two-way trust, that means that Mo has to understand that staff has his best interest at heart, and he has to understand the difference between fair and right, because typically they aren't the same thing.
BC, you know people here in Nebraska love that I formation option kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't see it much against Northwestern. That was their strength, stopping it. You think we see it this week?
Oh, I think they're going to throw it in here and there, and I wouldn't be surprised if it comes back. I never thought that was going to be a staple or anything, but it's something that's nice that you make a team have to think about that too during the week. Like Minnesota this week looks at the film the last couple of weeks and they say, okay, we got to take a period or two out and concentrate on it. Pat Fitzgerald last week talked about how that was kind of a pain for his guys that, you know, that's on film now. So sometimes it's just a chess match where you're showing something, hey, we could do this, so you better know about it. And so there is some benefit to it, even if it doesn't get a lot of use.
See, Larry from Council Bluffs wants to know about third down defense and getting to the passer. What do they got to do to change that?
It's been up and down.
One sack in one hurry.
Yeah, it's been up and down. This last game they got some different looks, and again, you get kind of hit with some zone read inside outside zones. The linebackers start hesitating a little bit because, I don't think they inside and outside linebackers. I don't think they play with the best of eyes so far this year. So it's just trusting themselves a little more. You bring some, D line. You don't have Khalil Davis obviously playing this last game. And Ohio State game again. That's they have probably two or three first rounders maybe mm-hmm. offensive line. So yeah, they got to ratchet it back up. They got to get going. They've made some good leaps in that area throughout the year, but it's been pretty non-existent. So hopefully they can get it cranked up again.
One of the questions from Facebook or statement saying that if it wasn't for Wanda Robinson, this team could be 2-4. Just how big has that true freshman been?
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, he's at advertised. They told us in spring and fall camp, this guy's legit. And what got me is teammates, the way they talked about him. You know a guy has something when they're talking about the new guy and they're like, yeah, he's got an extra gear. He's a different sort of player.
Right.
And he's just kind of a fearless guy too. And I think what's impressed me the most is his toughness. I didn't know if he could take as many hits as he's taken, but so far he's held up. And I think you really got to ride him this week with that bye week coming after. And it might be one of those 20, 25 touch games for him just because who are the other weapons right now? We don't know.
Saying everybody's healthy in that backfield, who do you think is the lead carrier this week?
Well, I think you have to start with Dedrick Mills. Mm-hmm. Although I believe Wandale Robinson and Wyatt Mazur are their two best inside zone runners. I think Mills, with the weather pending and how this game I think is going to be played, is the body blow guy. He's the guy that I think can soften you up and be steady Eddie. Then you sprinkle in Wandale's big playability, whether it's inside zone or outside zone, and then you try to see where Mo Washington and maybe some other guys are, if in fact they're available in Minnesota. But if it were me, I would start with Dedrick Mills.
In our Big Red prediction, we were all in the 20s. If that rain comes, if it's cold, do you think we get to that?
Yeah, I don't know. And this will be a day where, again, turnovers are going to be a big part of it. Who can hold onto the ball in that kind of weather? Some guys aren't as good when it's cold and, you know, it could be precipitation. So Nebraska did a nice job Saturday of not having that turnover, and then they got the takeaway on defense. So I think this is a game where, you know, they need to go plus one, plus two. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, I think Nebraska can win this thing.
We've talked a lot about Wandale Robinson, maybe the MVP of the offense, but from the defense, who do you think has played the best so far this season?
Darian Daniels has meant a lot, mm-hmm. I think, just in how much he's freed up other guys. I thought in the first half of that game Saturday, he was really, really good.
Yeah, coming off his best performance.
Yep.
Yeah, so he was good. Markell Dismuke is a guy who doesn't get talked about as much, but Travis Fisher was so high on him today, mm-hmm. and just how he played Saturday and how he executed his run fits. We know he had the one miss. I think it was against Illinois on the first play with Corbin. Mm-hmm. But since then, I think he's done a better job, and he's playing with a lot more confidence, and his voice has grown on the back end for that defense, which is such a big deal. So I would say those guys, and Cam Taylor-Britt,
definitely.
I think in a game like this, he's that kind of X-factor guy who can make a takeaway for you, and he can make that play that changes the game.
There are teams that Markell's going to be good against. Northwestern's a great example, right?
Yeah, and listen, he could get some 22 personnel this week against Minnesota, where they go two back, two tight ends, and he's going to have to get down into the box a little bit. I think this is the best quartet that they'll see in the West between the top two backs and the top two wide receivers. Bateman and Johnson are as good as advertised outside the numbers, and yep. Brooks and Smith are going to be a handful inside. So with the run game. So this could be a number 19 type of game.
And tight end as well. Don't forget about that. This is John from Fremont just comes right out at it. Do we need a new defensive coordinator? It's funny to say that coming off a game where you gave up 10 points. What? But he says good teams score 40 or more points against Nebraska on a regular basis.
So he's saying we need a new DC.
He says he thinks we need a new defensive coordinator.
I think they were impressed John pretty Fremont. Good. Overall, I mean, they are, I mean.
You're talking about six bad quarters, five
right,
maybe.
Right, I mean, it's this team, the defense has taken a bigger step than this offense has from year one to year two.
Yep.
I mean, that's I'm totally comfortable saying that. Chin is he's doing really good, and he's trust me. I mean, what he's got in playing. I mean, he's got a good D line. Linebackers have been struggling inside. They're doing just fine.
Yeah,
he's got. I mean, he's got a 4-3 guy, a guy that's kind of built to play the 4-3 like Mo Berry, mm-hmm. playing in a 3-4, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say thriving, but managing. And Alex Davis
was
the body type that he inherited. Yeah. He was a 4-3 end. Mm-hmm. JoJo Doman came in as a safety. He's in hybrid OLB. You have Will Honus coming off an injury as a junior college guy.
9 turnovers through 6 games.
I'm not, putting him in bad spots.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
what are we talking about?
Yeah. From Fremont. If there is, out of the three, special teams is the biggest concern. I mean, outside of even the field goal kicking, some punt coverage, kickoff coverage, little issues out there.
Yeah, they have to solve the kick coverage a little bit. Mm-hmm. That lane that they gave for a pretty average kick returner, yep. I think, from Northwestern, who went about 50 yards on him, you better clean that up this week. It's just such a mixed bag with special teams, and it's been that way for a while with Nebraska. Obviously, the kicking situation, that's one of those things where you say, you know, things happen. What can you do in college football? That's a tough break. But there are other areas where they do need to ratchet it up a notch.
You feeling good? I don't want you to give your pick away that you're going to give away on 24/7, but you feel good about Nebraska this week?
I think this game's going to go down to the very end. Mm-hmm. I think we're looking at a game where...
To a field goal again?
Well,
Scott said he's already aging too fast.
Yeah, he doesn't need that. So hopefully not. I'm curious if Nebraska has the same field goal kicker as great as the Lane McCallum story was this week. But
you need the soccer kid?
Oh, I don't know yet.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Do you have some inside information?
I'm just curious.
We'll be looking for it. Thanks a lot, Brian. Yep. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next on the wrap-up, Sean Callahan will join us to update us on Big Red recruiting as we go to break. A final look at Saturday's win, courtesy of images from Hale Varsity. Welcome back. I'm Michael Sevier, Sean Callahan here with recruiting. Sean, the talk after Ohio State was they're not going to get any of these kids because they lost so badly. It's not the way it's worked out so far.
Yeah, so far two of the guys that were in town for that weekend have committed to Nebraska. It started with Rodney Gross, an inside linebacker out of Alabama, a high three-star right on the cusp of being a four-star. Several SEC offers. Obviously fits a need. You look at that inside linebacker spot for Nebraska. They need bodies and they need competition there for the future.
You need athletes. He's a run and hit guy. He's a real good athlete.
So they've got a guy here that they really like out of SEC country. Eric Shenander's become a phenomenal Alabama recruiter. Then Ronald Delancey commits today out of Miami Northwestern. You know, a kid right down there in the heart of Miami. And he's three of their last four commits, Michael, have come from the state of Florida. So a year ago, completely skunked in Florida. Now they have four total commits from the state of Florida. So they're back in there pretty strong this year.
What about visitors on Saturday?
You know, right, they had five visitors that were in town for the weekend, so it was a bigger weekend. A lot of commits came back.
Yes.
You know, Alex Kahn was here. Will Nixon, we're going to talk to in a second, was here. So, you know, not a lot of movement because you had a lot of guys that were committed. Yeah. You know, a kid that was a receiver committed to Georgia came in, so we'll kind of see where that goes. But a lot of visitors came in, mostly commits.
This week, Scott Frost said he likes dual sport, multi-sport athletes. We have one of them on the line right now. Will Nixon, commit to Nebraska, who plays baseball as well out of Waco, Texas. We appreciate it, Will.
Yes, sir. How are y'all?
We're doing really well. Can you talk to us a little bit about this whole process of ending up at Nebraska? I know your dad's a coach at Baylor. You had a lot of decisions. Can you talk about ending up at Nebraska?
Yeah. Well, the first day they offered me, I was ready to go. A lot about Nebraska after a couple weeks after the offer, and I got to watch the spring game. I thought it was phenomenal. I thought all the people there, so they're so encouraging for football and so passionate. So I want to get out a visit there, and the visit went great. I loved it, and just decided to commit in the summer.
Will, you guys had an off weekend last week. It allowed you to come in for your official visit. What did you like about the weekend? Kind of give us an idea of what you saw and then how much they talk about the new facilities Nebraska is going to build here in the future.
Oh, yeah, they talked about it a lot, but the facilities are already so nice enough, and then they're building a new one in 2 years. That's amazing. So that just shows how much football is to Nebraska. And then highlights of the weekend, I got to talk to all the other commits, Xavier Betts and Alex Corkin, and he was there, so that was amazing. And then got to see the game, and that was great. Just watching that atmosphere, getting to be a part of it. I can't wait to play in front of it on that field. And then got to meet Wandell Robinson. Great kid, and I love his game. And then my host was Matt Masker and Luke McCaffrey, great guys. And then the McCaffreys took me out to eat, and they're great people.
Nebraska commit Will Nixon joining us here. You brought up Wandell Robinson. When I watch this tape, you do a lot of the same things. You look at what they did with Wandell on Saturday, and you see yourself doing the same thing?
Yes, sir. It made me so comfortable that they could utilize a guy like Wandell who has similar game to me. So I can't wait to get to work with Wandell, too, and Nebraska.
Yeah, what is your plan? I know you're a baseball guy, but will you graduate early and get up here right away in January, or will you finish out your final semester in Waco?
I'll finish out in Waco. I wish I could graduate early, but unfortunately I moved here late. I moved like late my freshman year, so I couldn't get all my credits done, but I wish I could come up.
Have you had a chance to talk to Will Bolt at all about maybe playing a little baseball as well?
Just a little bit. I know he's new to Nebraska. I was in contact with him one time on Twitter, and that was really it. But I do want to play baseball for Nebraska as well.
How do you – I mean, when you talk to the coaches, I mean, how do they draw up your role? Because I look at your stats. You've got more rushing yards right now than receiving yards by a wide margin. I mean, do you envision an exact role like Wandell Robinson? Or, I mean, what are they telling you right now?
Yes, sir, I do. Like Wandell in high school, he was an all-purpose back. And that's what I'm playing right now for my team. I'm playing mainly running back, but I'm all purpose for the team, get receiving yards. And so I see myself being like Wandell. And like I said, I can't wait to get to work with him.
Will, we appreciate it. Have a great rest of the year.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Let's talk some in-state now. Teddy Prochazka, giant guy, great recruit for Nebraska. Everybody wanted him. Can you talk about where you see him fit for Nebraska?
Well, clearly on the tackle position. I don't know if the state of Nebraska has ever produced a tackle body like this, especially this young. When you look at Teddy, he's got measurables of a grown man. And yes. He's just in his junior year of high school. He's a national top 50 recruit already on Rivals. And I'll tell you, the shocker was his decision to commit. I know I talked to his family, his dad Jeff, and he goes, I was surprised. I thought Teddy, because we had flights booked, he said, to Notre Dame. They were going to go to LSU for a game as well, and check that out. And he kind of pulled a shocker and said, Dad, I want to do this now. Let's pull the trigger and commit to Nebraska. This is where I want to be.
Yeah.
It's huge to get this locked up now, because you've got somebody now for the recruiting class to kind of to build up. But, it'll be interesting to see just how he challenges and gets better. He plans to graduate early. He's got a whole other year of high school, but he is on track to get out and graduate early.
What about the guy lining up next to him, Isaac Zadiska? You think he makes it to Nebraska?
He'll be one to watch. He's an interior guy, and he would be the smallest, in terms of height,
right. The
shortest guy that they've taken, really.
He's only 6'4".
Because, Will Farniak was already committed to Nebraska before. And you look at the six guys they got last year, 5'7", a 6'9", and Ethan Piper's the short one right now at 6'4". So I think he'd have to really fit what they're wanting. It will be interesting. I think he's got a chance.
Yeah.
But, his body and measurables, are different than the type of linemen they are recruiting.
We see why Elkon South is pretty good, though. Sean, we appreciate it. The quarterback room, of course, prepares for a unique Saturday, maybe without Adrian Martinez. We sat down with backup quarterback Andrew Bunch, who's been in a situation of taking the place of an injured quarterback. And here's what he thinks about the mentality and the process of stepping up.
So my dad walked on and played here. I've been around Memorial Stadium, even though I didn't grow up in Lincoln. I've been around here a lot, and I've always been a fan of the Huskers. So being able to come here later in college and play has really been a dream. I mean, this year everybody's on the same page just because we've all been in the offense now a year. Being able to bounce ideas off each other and, think of more intelligent questions for coach and get a little bit deeper into what our reads can be and how we can be more precise compared to last year, I think is really probably the biggest change. I mean, I think a lot of people think of the pressure of being a backup, like you need to go in and save the game or whatever. But to me, if you prepare like you're the starter, then there really is no pressure. We talk about all the time, not feeling pressure as long as you're prepared. And the way that the coaching staff has prepared us and the way that we practice every day, I don't think anybody feels any pressure. I think perseverance is so important because the bottom line is things aren't going to go your way, whether that's in a game or in a season. Being able to see the goal at hand and be able to get through those rough patches is important because they're inevitable. Everybody's going to run into things like that, and you don't want those things to knock you off path. You want to be able to just work through those and continue to fight. Yeah, I mean, I read a lot of books. That's something probably people don't know. I read religion or politics and kind of dip my toe in a couple different areas. At the end of the day, I just want to compete with my brothers here. The guys I fought with here in Nebraska are family to me. I think it means a lot to want to stay and compete and play with the guys you've worked really hard for.
As we've heard from Troy Walters about how this offense needs to work and what it needs to make it work, we got a couple questions about bringing a big wide receiver into the system. In terms of recruiting, they already got one that's committed, but what do you think about getting more big guys in there?
I think you're seeing it right now. Just those 50-50 balls are such a big part of the game of football, and Nebraska doesn't have a lot of guys on this roster where you could throw it up and get it. And when you watch SEC teams and elite level teams like Clemson, they always have that guy where you could throw it on a third and long and they got a chance. And today, right now, you just can't say that about Nebraska, and they've got to get that corrected, whether it's a junior college player, if Xavier Betts can get here academically, he's going to be an immediate help. I think we've realized how big of an issue that is going forward.
In terms of the way the system works, do you have to have a big flanker, or can you do it with a lot of slot kind of guys?
Well, I'd like a big boundary guy, somebody that you could at least win a 50-50 ball with, because you're not always – listen, we heard Coach Frost say, you can't always scheme guys open. Sometimes you got to make playmakers have to make plays. And I think for Nebraska to get a little bit bigger outside the numbers wouldn't hurt them at all. And if you want some knockdowns and to be able to get after guys downfield in terms of some longer runs, a few bigger bodies wouldn't hurt.
Question from Facebook for you, Jay. Which team do you think controls the trenches, Minnesota or Nebraska in this game?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. Minnesota has a really good offensive line.
It's huge.
Yeah, they're big. Yeah. They always have big boys up there. I like our guys, though, too. I think it's just going to be a good battle. between Daniels and the Davises and the Stillies, I guess their crew. I'll take my guys. I'll take our guys all day. They got to step up. They got to improve their pass rush and get off the field in third down and get the ball back in the offense's hands to give ourselves a shot on Saturday night.
I love stats, obviously, but what do you know about Minnesota for sure?
Well, I know one thing. They'll commit to the run, mm-hmm. right? They run
65%.
They run the ball 65% of the time. So they're going to tank it at you. For as big as that offensive line is, I'm not sure about their physicality. I think that still remains to be seen, just how much of a grating, in-your-face, smash-mouth kind of team that they want to be. So I think that'll be tested. Nebraska gets a healthy Khalil Davis back. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be ready to go. And I think South Dakota State kind of showed you a blueprint for how to play them up front. Get off the ball, use your hands, and try to be explosive at the point of attack. We'll see how that size works out for them.
What about recruiting in Minnesota? You always want to beat the team. Obviously, you're going against for a couple of guys, and they certainly got going into Minnesota looking for some guys.
Yeah, Caden Johnson, you know, maybe their highest value defensive target right now on the board is obviously right outside Minneapolis. So there is some recruiting stakes for Nebraska. I'm not sure if the Husker coaching staff will be able to send a coach or two out to his game Friday night. If it works out, I'm guessing they will try to get out there since they're up there and it's a night game. You got all day Saturday anyway. So hopefully it works out where they can get out and watch his game on Friday night as well.
Nebraska was in control of the game against Minnesota last year. Tanner Morgan comes in, starts running some zone read. They had some troubles. He's not running much this year, but do you see that maybe for an issue?
I think so. I mean, the game of football is a copycat. They see Nebraska struggle a little bit against Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you got to throw that in there. Just the fact that they relied a little bit on it last year. Get those outside linebackers in space and see what happens. And I think that's you'll see a good heavy dose.
I pulled the stat up to Dan Morgan. He's only had 14 designed runs
right.
all year.
Yep.
But a lot of that I think is their situation at quarterback with Anastad out right now. They can't afford to get Tanner Morgan hurt right now.
Right, which makes a lot of sense. But if they see it on tape, you want to go to it. Who would you say? Oh, so here's the key players, obviously. Antonio Winfield Jr. is playing great, but the guy on the other side is playing pretty well.
Yeah, I think it's St. Justy.
Transfer.
Who by some academic amazing achievement, he
Take
is a grad
classes.
Transfer yeah. that has 3 years to play. A Whoa. Big, rangy corner, 6'2", and some change, and may actually be the better of the two. He's had the tougher matchups.
Right.
For who they've gone against. He tends to take opponents' number ones. They got quite a tandem back there in the secondary.
Winfield, though, is a playmaker. If the ball's in the air,
he's a hawk.
Yeah.
And he plays with supreme confidence, too.
Mm-hmm. Would you say the biggest key on the defense for this game against Minnesota? Who's the key?
Boy, I mean, always turnovers, third down, getting off the field on third down. I think in this type of ball game, the inside linebackers got to step up their play. That's my biggest thing. Mo Berry, Will Honus, mm-hmm. got to kick it up a notch.
You think we see Noah Vedral starting?
Yeah, my gut says yes. It'd be kind of an indictment. I don't think you want to trot out an Adrian Martinez at 60% when you've talked all year about next man up, right? Mm-hmm. That sends a different kind of message. And I would imagine Vedral gets the start. But for Nebraska, the key defensively, those chain movers, you've got to get Minnesota off the field on third down because they will eat clock on you.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. And we may have a different place kicker, right?
We'll see.
It
sounds like, some stuff could be shaking up there. It'll be interesting to watch this week to see what they do at kicker because obviously points could be at a premium with wind and cold and rain and maybe snow.
Right.
So it could be one of those Big Ten type of games where you need field goals.
No doubt about that. Don't forget to head to our website and click on the prediction. Jay, Damon, and myself will tell you exactly what to expect on Saturday. Nebraska travels to Minneapolis to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers on Saturday night. Kickoff is at 6:30 on FS1. Of course, we're back next week to recap the game with Kevin Kugler, I believe is how you pronounce his name. I'm pretty sure. Our thanks to Sean Callahan, Brian Christopherson, Will Nixon, and Hannah, of course, and the boys in the call center. For Jay Moore and Damon Benning, I'm Michael Sevier. We'll see you next week on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up.